Welcome to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, and today in the house, I got Barrick Steakley, probably one of the best golfers in this area, former Tennessee Tech golfer. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about that as we go on, but welcome to the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Barrett, it's been a couple years. I think we were over at the old place when I had you on before, and a lot has changed in your life, there's no doubt. So let's fill the folks in on how your life has changed.
Yeah, well, let's see. That was the old building. Kids are older. I guess I'm more of a dad now. We're out of diapers and we're mobile. So life has certainly changed. You know, most of the time when I'm here talking to you, it's about golf, but, you know, my golf has kind of been pushed aside, and become more of a father figure, I guess, for two little children.
I love to get into that because, you know, I probably have not seen too many people that put as much time in practicing and actually like to practice on the golf course than you have in the past. And you still find time even with the family now. You just kind of, I've seen you out there here lately, just kind of make it a part of what you guys do. So let's go back. The difference previous of being married and having kids. You know, you were definitely at the top of your game, winning just about every tournament around here multiple times, you know, which there's some good golfers around here. So talk about how much time you put into your golf game at that time and how that's changed.
Yeah. You know, out of college, you know, deciding on what you want to do in life. You know, is it going to be golf? Is it going to be work? Do you want golf to be your work? You know, for an occupation, and I made that decision. You have to be really dedicated to play golf. Anybody can play golf, but to play golf at a good level is a little different. Requires a lot of dedication, a lot of time. You know, my wife now, I don't think she realized how much time that is involved, in dating a golfer. She soon realized,
Sure.
So that, you know, yes, you're right. You're at the golf course. Seems like daylight to dark. I love it. I still love it. My kids are slowly getting into it. You know, so time, like you said, finding time to go out there is limited. You have to find time to practice. Luckily, you know, my little boy Bram has taken a very strong interest in the sport. So he's with me every time. So I'm doing a little bit more coaching, a little bit more teaching with him, trying to get him, you know, situated into the game, learning the swing, the mechanics of the golf swing. So we're out there quite frequently. We're just not out there as long as we sometimes wish we were. But we're learning, we're adapting. You know, life, married life with children, is a lot different than single life with, you know, playing golf every day, all day.
We're talking to Barrett Steakley, former Tennessee Tech golfer, and as I said, one of the best golfers in this area still. Barrett, let's go ahead and introduce your family to the folks, from your wife to your two kids.
Yeah, I'm married to Caitlin Steakley, and then we have a little girl named Jovi who has just recently turned 7, and then we have a little boy, Bram, who turns 5 here in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, so, you know, really just getting started in your family. I can't believe your daughter's 7 already. It just amazes me right there. But it goes fast, by the way. So you touched on a few things, and you don't want to stay centralized around golf. And it's a very important thing in this area. And you talked about making the decision to try and go pro or at least play a high amateur status in the state of Tennessee. And you come out of college as one of the better golfers around the area, definitely in the OVC and with the things that your teams did at that time. And I think what most people don't realize, and selfish side of this, I got a son that's 22 now that's going to do the same thing, and I think he's going to run into some of the same stumbling blocks that you ran into because it is time. It is a lot of time. And fortunately, like you, he loves to practice. I mean, sometimes he would rather practice than play, which is a really good trait to have. But the thing that separates you being a very, very good golfer and those guys that play on Sunday is a very small difference. There's a lot of really good golfers, but there's not a lot that make it to that level.
Yeah, exactly. To get to that level, you know, talent is one thing. That is one aspect. You know, there's a financial aspect of that too. There's a dedication for your practice. You got to be willing to travel. You know, I was kind of a homebody. Sure. My mom and dad would tell you that I wouldn't stay gone. I actually had that conversation, you know, today is, a lot of the guys that, you know, that you do see on TV on Sunday, I've competed against for years, played against, in college, beat, a majority of them then, you know, it's a little heartbreaking to see that I'm sitting here talking to you and they're living a life on a golf course. But hey, that's the hand we're dealt. That's what we go with. You know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wish I would have done a few things, obviously different. I wish I would have traveled. I wish I'd have made that commitment, to be a little bit more dedicated to the sport on the financial side and the I guess more, let's say the business side of golf.
Yeah.
The talent was probably there. The dedication, the practice. I was willing to do that. You know, I could shoot the numbers. I could compete at that level. You know, I just, the business side, I just probably wasn't focused enough at my age.
And you sound, you know, Will's, my son Will's very lucky, to have folks like you, that can talk to him and answer questions. And one of those folks, that's been a great resource for him is a fellow you played with by the name of Scott Stallings. It's on the tour now. And Scott's been very nice to Will and trying to help him along the way. And what you're saying is exactly what he says. The business side for him was the hardest thing to get used to and really something that he didn't expect. And then the financial side, you know, he basically told us it takes about $60,000 to $70,000 a year for someone to totally commit to the game and really give it a good chance. And he was lucky enough to find people to be able to do that. And you look at him now, he's made $13 million so far in the sport, not to mention the gigs that he has on the side. And he's done a lot with that. And you know, Scott's, he's won four tournaments, which is amazing within itself. But, you know, he's also at times can be a streaky player. He can get on a good streak. And, you know, last 4 or 5 years, he's won $1 million every year. So you can survive on the tour now and not have to win every week.
Oh, yeah. I would say there's numerous players out there that have never won that have, you know, had a very, very good lifestyle. Certainly. You know, the golf game is so different. I've always kind of viewed it, which, like I said, I've competed at that level. I've played at that level. But back to the financial side of it, you know, most of the, like in Will's situation, I don't know if there's anybody any better than Will. I don't know if there was anybody any better than me at the time. The financial commitment that people get is kind of the difference from, you know, the guys being on Sunday. I'm still a pretty firm believer in that they've had some type of financial assistance that a lot of people don't get. And there's a lot of people out there, you know, Sam, that don't get the opportunity to compete at that level because they don't have the financial assistance.
Exactly right. And don't have the means to even think about getting it in any way. And, you know, that's sad because there's a lot of really good players out there that could make that jump and could really survive in that arena, if you will, and talent is a lot of it, there's no doubt, but there's a lot of people that have that talent too. And you mentioned travel. People don't understand when you first get started like you did, you're by yourself. You're lucky if you have a caddy. You're driving just about to everywhere you go, and it's a very lonely situation.
Yeah, you know, I just told you a second ago that I had this exact conversation 2 hours ago with a guy. You know, you got to leave. And you're going to leave your home or your home base, wherever that is, and you're going to be gone for 2 months. And you got to make that commitment that, hey, I'm going to be gone for 2 months. I'm going to be away from my family, my friends. You know, I'm going to be in foreign places. I've got to stay by myself. You know, I personally didn't make that commitment. And I, you know, regretfully so. I mean, I do regret that I did not, because I do think I had the ability to make it. I still think, I mean, athletic mindset, I still think that I have that ability to do it. I mean, obviously I don't get to practice and play with the children, and you know, being a family man, but you got to stay focused. You got to, like you said, you got to want to travel. the minute that you lose that focus is the minute you start dwindling. And that dream, you know, comes far fetched. If you stay focused, I feel like that dream is certainly a reality.
Yeah, it's just tough. You got to know going in how tough it's going to be, and that not many people, you know, have what it takes to make that that next step. And it definitely is tough. You know that going in, you know, hindsight's really nice. If you would have had the thought process that you have now, would it have made a difference? Possibly. In the financial side, definitely. If you knew exactly how much it was going to take to make that commitment, it would have made a difference.
Oh yeah. You know, here I am 22, 23, playing off my parents' money when I'm out competing against a guy who's playing on corporation money. You know, when you've got a mindset, hey, if I miss a shot, I'm blowing $2,000, let's say, of, you know, of my family's money, where this guy that I'm competing against, if he hits a bad shot, it's a tax write-off, essentially. Not necessarily that way, but we'll just use that term. That makes it really difficult, you know, from a mentality, a mental aspect. That makes it hard when you're gambling. I probably should have put a little bit more time in trying to round up some money and trying to find some backing, some financial backing. I didn't. Later on in life, I did have a guy that approached me about doing it. The year that I shot 55, I was playing probably the best golf of my life. It just seemed like I really couldn't shoot over par kind of anywhere we went. And I've shot, you know, you've been with me my whole life. I've shot numbers that are unheard of. You know, in 2014, a guy approaches me for that financial burden to be lifted finally. And just to come to find out that, you know, my wife's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Timing couldn't have been worse. Here I am, you know, kind of newlywed, not really newlywed, but into a marriage. And we're expecting our first child, or I can't even remember, Jovi might have even been born. You know, timing was just bad.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue that conversation when we come right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue, across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Good morning. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again with Barrett Steakley, UC golfer extraordinaire, in the house today, talking to us about golf. And when we left you, we were talking a little bit about his jaunt into the pro arena and financial obligations that it took, and support along the way that he could have received. And family happened, and it's a great thing. I mean, you were already a really good daddy. I see you guys together, and want to talk a little bit about your wife as we transition just a little bit. You know, she's been involved in a lot of things, and where I really noticed it was those awful days that we had after the tornado, when the community really came together, and she was a big part of that.
Yeah, you know, Caitlin is so giving. That girl has a heart that you just, it's unimaginable. You know, as my current occupation is, I work in the engineering department of Upcoming Electric. So to those storms, I was out working. We were out all hours of the night.
Sure.
So Caitlin was up because I was gone. Here she's trying to play mom and dad. I didn't see my kids hardly any during those storms, and Caitlin just took initiative to start this Cookeville Strong page that, you know, just ballooned into just unimaginable things, and helping and organizing and getting the community to rally behind and help these families. She is still very active on that page. I don't know, there's 25, 30,000 people that look at that page. I probably visit it frequently. She's just trying to be a voice of the community, trying to help people in need and people that need help. And you know, bless her that she is, she's got that heart. Not many people do.
She did a fantastic job. And, you know, I was a lot of times educators, when stuff like that happens, we're called in to help out. And so I was over in emergency services and, you know, we started using that page to really get the word out about anything that needed to be known for the community, and the community really rallied behind that. You know, so many great things came out of that situation for our community, and people willing to help and set aside their own personal needs for others, and not only our community, but for even outside of our community. And, you know, that Cookeville Strong website had a lot to do. It was a central location for just about everything. So kudos to her. She did a great job with that. She's still doing a great job with that. And she definitely is someone that's community oriented. And maybe someday in the near future, we might get her, after the kids have grown a little bit, you know, to take even more of a leadership role in our community. So we'll see how that works. Back to golf a little bit. You know, you come out of that situation where you really, as you said, used mom and dad's money to try and financially support you along the way. And, you know, you brought up a very relevant point. Golf is unique in the fact that, you know, it's you by yourself. And, you talk about the stress of the game and the expectation, especially when you're talking about somebody's money. And that just puts more pressure on you, but that's exactly what golf is.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have gotten so much out of golf because I could only blame myself. You know, I went to Tech to play baseball. And, you know, I made a transition over to golf. It was probably one of the greatest things in my life that I ever did. I miss baseball and I still love the sport. But you know, you could, even though golf was a team at the university level, you could only blame yourself for playing bad. You know, it wasn't like you missed the shot and the whole team, you know, couldn't move on, or, you know, you could miss the shot and obviously not go on. I shouldn't say that, but, you know, you played bad. It was you. That always just struck a good chord with me. And the mentality, you know, from the game that, hey, I play bad, it's on me. Yeah. I can't blame anybody.
We're talking to Barrett Steakley today. Very good Upper Cumberland golfer and former Tennessee Tech golfer. Barrett, I've seen you since you were probably 9 years old out at White Plains when your dad brought you. We used to have a Saturday group that would be anywhere from 12 to, you know, 25 people that showed up and played, and what fun that was. And you came on the scene probably about 9 or 10 years old and kind of played with us. And then by the time you got to 12, did play with us. And you know, that was kind of your beginning competition, playing with a lot of older folks that maybe at that time were a little bit better than you. What age did you get to where you started realizing this was going to be a good thing for you? And maybe you started beating your father, who was a pretty good golfer at that time.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to sit back. We moved out there when I was 5. So, you know, I would hit a tee shot. We'd pick the ball up. We'd go to, you know, wherever dad hit it. Dad was a very avid golfer, you know,
still
is a very avid golfer, still plays good for his age. You wouldn't get him to tell you that, but I'll tell you that. You know, I don't really know. You know, when I probably turned 15 or 16, I started shooting some course records around here. Was kind of when I realized, hey, you know, I might not be too bad at this. You know, it's all about getting in a hole fast, and I thought I could do that. You know, I started shooting some numbers, you know, that were kind of unheard of for my age, I guess. Like you said, I developed so much, I feel like, more quickly because I got to play with you guys. I played in that game. You know, we had a little team match. You know, you grinded it out a little bit. There was some reward in that. I feel like I developed a little bit more quickly because I got to play with you guys.
I'd say there's no doubt, you know, 12-year-old playing with guys that, you know, have been around. We had some pretty good golfers at that time that played in that group, and that I think that just made you better and gave you a lot of confidence, you know. And as you got stronger and bigger, you know, it went from playing maybe a tee up or to the tees that we were playing, and then we made you play the tees that were behind us a little bit, because that's how much you grew, you know. And I remember, and I'm asking you questions, but I remember, you know, between your 14-year-old and 16-year-old years, your strength increased dramatically, and you were playing baseball at the same time, so you were getting that training at the same time. And you mentioned how individualistic golf and tennis and things like that is, and I think I've told you before, you know, I've been in situations in a team sport like football at Tennessee Tech when, you know, we go to a place like East Carolina and it's their homecoming and we're playing in front of 70,000 people, and it's 3rd and 15 and I know the ball's coming to me, and that's a nerve-wracking situation, but there's 10 other people that got to do something right in order for me to get the ball. So it's not as a pressure cooker as it is over that 10-foot putt that don't mean anything. You know, even that little situation like that, if it's a 10-foot putt that don't mean anything but you want to make it, you know, it's an individual thing. You have to make it. Nobody else is involved in it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would always, you know, we sit here and say it, you know, make the last putt to win the Masters. I mean, you do it in baseball, you know, you do it in everything. I tried to make it more of a reality mindset. Like, hey, I'm, you know, your mind can talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
Self-belief. Can go a long way. I always believed that I was going to be there. Sure, I had my doubts every once in a while, but even at the young age, I believe, like, hey, I'm going to be the best. Not necessarily be the best around here, but hey, I'm going to be the best. Just my self-belief was really strong at that age. I mean, you always have your doubts, but you know, when I practice, I try to practice with a purpose. I still, to this day, I may only get 30 minutes, but I'm going to practice with a purpose. I mean, there's going to be a purpose and initiative to know that, hey, I need to hit this shot right here. So I'm going to practice that way.
And to be as successful as you've been on the golf course, you've had to have a good support group, good parents along the way. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about that. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Again, we have Barrett Steakley, former Tennessee Tech golfer, and UC champion, no doubt, in a lot of tournaments around this area. Very well known in the golf arena in the Upper Cumberland area. Barrett, we were talking about your support mechanism along the way, and you started in college baseball, which took a lot through high school to get there. You know, high school golf is kind of a minimal thing, I guess, compared to the summer opportunities that you have on the Tennessee tours and the smaller things, which even since you've been there have really exploded, you know, with the support of somebody like Scott Stallings and some of the other professional golfers from around the state of Tennessee has really created opportunities for these young people to get better and better. And I think you're seeing that as these kids are growing up, especially in the state of Tennessee, is as good a job as the TGA does with the kids programs. That you had to have a very good support group. And, you know, I talked about being around you when you were young, and I know your dad was part of that.
Yeah. You know, everybody's always asked me, you know, how'd you get into golf? How'd you get into golf? Well, you kind of do what your dad does. You know, if your dad hunts, you hunt. If your dad fishes, you fish. Well, my dad golfed. So I don't hunt or fish. So I golf. My wife would probably tell you I golf too much. Not really in the past few years since the kids have started growing. But you know, dad still is a very good golfer in my opinion. Like I said, you'd probably be hard to get him to say that, but, you know, he's aging. He just turned 70, probably shoot his age, if I guess, around these local courses, which is in my book, if you can shoot your age, you're playing pretty good. But you know, dad took me to the course. He was always open to taking me to the course. He never said, "Hey son, you're not going to the course today." You know, he always left that image that, hey, I could go to the golf course with him anytime I wanted to. Now he may tell me how it is. And I probably don't like it, and I probably get my feelings hurt, but he was probably telling me that for my good. You know, I can remember playing in some of those Saturday games and having a good argument with dad. You know, some of those old guys when they come up and want to talk golf stories with me, and which is quite frequently, you know, like you said, in the golf community, I guess I've been known. So a lot of people, most of the time when they associate my name, it's through golf. And so they'll come up and tell a story, or, you know, tell my kids a story. And, you know, so every once in a while, those guys from that side of Saturday morning will, I remember when you and your dad, you know, went round and round on five green, you know, and we giggle about it now, but, you know, he was always open to me. I'm going to try to be that way to my children. If they want to go, we're going to go. You got to have that, you know, to be competitive and to, you know, I guess live a dream out. You got to have someone that gives you that support. For me, it was always dad. Mom was always there. My mom is very blunt. She's going to tell me, hey, you played bad. She's not going to sugarcoat it and be like, son, it's okay. Get them next time. It was like, what happened? You know, you need to get it together. That really hit with me like, oh, hey, she's telling me the truth. Like, people take different coaching. I'm the one that tell me I did bad. I'm going to get upset and let me go correct it, you know, I always took well to that. My wife, I don't think, likes that aspect about me, but, you know, I want to be told pretty bluntly, hey, you know, it is what it is.
We're talking to Barrett Stickley, former Tennessee Tech golfer. And, Barrett, you talk a little bit about, that family, you know, golf had a lot to do with every day for you guys. You lived on a golf course. You could play anytime, which I think really had a lot to do with your success. And then you had two parents that were very supportive of that along the way. So, you know, you got a lot of these younger kids that are coming up today that, you know, really look up to you. I know you don't make a point to interfere with them or talk to them and try and help them with their swing or anything like that until they ask, which I think is great. What does it mean to you to be someone that they look up to, knowing your past? You walk in the clubhouse at the golf club, and there's a scorecard up there with the course record on it that's 15 under. And I believe that's 55 at the golf club, and it's got your name on it, you know, that, and they see that. That's got to be important to you.
Yeah, you know, golf has given me so much. I could never pay back what golf has given me or my family, you know. I try to be, you know, out playing with those guys on Saturday morning. They welcome me with open arms. I can't remember a situation ever where someone didn't, even in my youth. You know, everybody was always welcoming, hey, come play, you know, whatever that situation might be. I want to be there for the kids. I want to grow the game. If they ask me, I will definitely give, you know, an honest opinion. Like I said, we just sit there and said, I'm just a little bit more blunt. But, you know, I don't want to leave a bad impression, I guess. You know, not that there's a lot that comes with shooting course records and the, you know, but just being a good human Christian person, you know, being there for when someone needs you. It may be that they're having a bad day and just want to hit some golf balls. You know, maybe saying hello, or, you know, a lot of people associate me with golf. I just don't want to leave a bad taste in anybody's mouth.
So I give you a perspective. So, you know, when Will was in 10th grade, he got to play in one of those tournaments with you, and he goes like, Dad, I'm getting to play with Barrett Stickley. You know, and he knew you and everything, but getting to play with you in a round, because at that time you were at the top level and won those tournaments a lot. You know, as time progressed, he got into a senior year and he got to play with you again. And it's, hey, I'm playing with Barrett tomorrow. You know, and then this last time, just the other day, you guys got to play together in a tournament. He's like, Dad, I'm playing with Barrett again. And it's amazing to see the competition, you know, that's developing in his mind. You know, because before he was just glad to be playing with you. And now he loves playing with you because he's about as competitive as you are.
Yeah. You know, you need that. You need that competitiveness, that grit, someone that makes you dig a little bit deeper. You know, we spoke. I don't play anywhere near as much as I used to. I've generally got one of my little ones with me. I'm giving instruction. You know, we're out there every day still, because yeah, Golf is such a big part of our life. But like I said, it might be for 30 minutes. It might be for an hour. Heck, it might be for 15 minutes. You never know with what life might throw you. You know, and Will has progressed so much. So just like you said just the other day, I feel like maybe the tides have turned a little bit because I've watched Will develop into this really good player. So, you know, I haven't played as much in the past couple of years, especially competitively. So you come out and watched a few holes and whatnot, and I played pretty well. I didn't get the outcome of the tournament that I wanted, but I played pretty well. And you know, thanks to Will on a lot of that, you know, I can sit here and thank him because he made me grind a little bit harder because he plays every day in these big competitive tournaments where I don't. And so, you know, you'd go back to competitive where, hey, Will now is this pinnacle, like it's playing and practicing and shooting these numbers. And you see the Golf Club of Tennessee and the Golf House of Tennessee post and Tennessee Golf Association post these numbers. Well, it's like, hey, I'm playing with Will. I'm going to bring my best today. And so it's kind of weird how the world evolves because now I'm a little older. Like you guys used to be where, you know, like, hey, I can't let this little kid beat me. Well, I find myself in that situation with these junior golfers now, like, hey, they're not going to beat me. I'm still going to find something here to get. I come out on top that day.
Now, let me finish the story there. Yeah, you played your first day together with him, and I believe you shot 5 under, if I'm not mistaken, on that day. A nice little 65, and he ended up shooting 1 or 2 under, I think. And you know, he came home and analyzed his round and, you know, what he did wrong and all that. And it was a learning experience for him, so you're still teaching.
Yeah. You know, he's such a good kid. I think the world of Will. I wish Will nothing but the best. I hope that he succeeds in all his golf endeavors. It's so good to see, you know, local talent playing at that competitive level because there's a lot of good little golfers around the area. I'll still tell every one of them, you need to get outside of Cookeville. I'll still preach that with the best of them. If you play good golf in Cookeville, I've always said you're probably not going to play good golf anywhere else. The course is just a little bit softer, a little bit more open. You don't have the degree of difficulty that you would see at some of these courses where these big tournaments, these state tournaments are held. So you do have that aspect. But, you know, watching Will and like I said, I'm every time I tee it up with him or I see him, I'm gonna come after him. Because, you know, that's just the competitiveness in a golfer. And when you get that, it's hard to ever get that out of you. I mean, you're going to dig deep, and it's all fun and games. But you know, I miss that aspect. And like I said, it was good. It was a great day. I had a great time. We also got to play with Blake, which is one of my best friends. It was an all-around good day there.
You know, and you talk about the kids are young right now, but you're at the course through your son right now. You're probably able to analyze and think through the game really well. So, you know, I guess what I'm doing is a pep talk here and telling you there, you still got time ahead, old buddy. You know, you're as strong as you ever were, and fitness is important to you, and you're going to last a long time in golf. So your kids are going to get a little bit older, and you're going to be able to get back in that competitive edge and that side of it and do some of the things that you've done before. So don't think it's all over just yet, Barrett. Just hang in there. Barrett, I want to thank you for joining me today on the show. And, you know, golf is very popular in this area, and you're one of the reasons, along with several other folks. I could go, you know, one, I need to get some of those guys in here, Tim Richardson, Paul Ballard, all those guys. But you guys have helped to make it very popular around this area, and we appreciate all you've done. Wish you good luck with your family, and just appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.